4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yesterday, we out-physical Team Bell. Today, we're going to out-think Team Bell. What a game that's going on right now with Connect Four.
Now, the thing is, the Dukes team, because by virtue of winning the axe throwing contest at Game Changer at Lake Lanier Islands, they got to basically call heads or tails. They won the coin toss, and I got to be honest, winning the coin toss Connect Four,
big deal.
Going first is a big part of the game, and so you guys right now, we have combated your aggressive strategy, and right now it looks like a push. We may have a draw.
All right. I'll say this. I thought Day-Day was had. It is Joe Patrick going up against Day-Day. I thought he was done after move three. There will be pitches.
Here's the thing. I'm a good coach. I use my timeout at the right moment to regroup, figure out where we were going with the disc.
Well, I tried to say something to Joe, and Patrick's like, quiet. Yeah, I was like, wow, all right, no input from the coach. So either way, man, a great match going on up here at Pickle and Social. We are up here for day two of our summer games. Lots of fun, and the guys are having a lot of fun. So we'll continue to get you updated. But the first round of at least this competition, which is the oversized Connect Four, Joe Patrick and Day-Day going head-to-head.
For guys who missed the beginning of the show, again, it's just an amazing facility. They've got pickleball courts indoors and outdoors. I mean, it's just one of the great spots. There's so many of these multi-use where you've got real estate. Yeah. You know, you got rental community. And you got a lot of great restaurants and stuff and retail. And so Pickle and Social right off Buford Drive on the east side of 85 if you're coming up north. But, again, great crowd, great bar scene. What a vibe.
It really is. We're going to talk to our buddy Rusty Manziel. Lots of college football news going on, including some news coming out of Georgia. Obviously, SEC Media Days next week. Can't wait, man. I want to hear from all the coaches. I want to see, and hear from some of the players that they're bringing, not just the dogs. I'm talking about across the SEC. And then, Mike, before you know it, we're going to be talking about, kickoff, week zero, which actually you're headed to.
And one of the things that we were talking about off the air, and a lot of guys have brought it up saying, hey, are you guys going to get into this? And, yes, we're going to talk about it with Rusty, amongst other things, is the latest spat of off-the-field stuff at Georgia involving guys behind the wheel. Now, we did find out today that, actually the end of the show yesterday, the situation with Trevor Etienne was adjudicated, and it was a plea deal. It was worked out for reckless driving, so the DUI charge was removed. But still, the optics continue to be pretty awful, and I know that a lot of Georgia fans, I get it, some fans just basically go, blah, 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 I don't want to hear about this. But it is something that Kirby will probably be asked a lot of questions about at SEC Media Days.
Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Well, Rusty, let's start there. And you hear Rusty on the Steakhouse. And again, he is all over college football. Well, what do you make of the latest incident with the dogs? And what do you think Kirby's going to say about it?
I don't know, but you're 100% right. I can tell you, you think about Kirby Smart going to SEC Media Days. He knows he's a couple of days away. He's been relatively quiet, kind of off-season, a few things here and there, but all of a sudden, you know, it just happens today or yesterday, and now you know as Kirby Smart. You know what the questions are going to be. You're going to walk in there the first year without Nick Saban. You're kind of the headliner. You know, your message, what are you going to deliver? What are you going to speak about the conference? Nick Saban always used that to kind of deliver, you know, a message about the conference and those types of things. So Kirby Smart's going to face those questions. And I'll tell you this, you know, talking to some people today, a lot of people, it has to be frustrating. Guys, they had an individual talk to the team this week about driving, about speeding, about those things and the dangers. And then you have something like this happen. So, listen, Kirby Smart's going to answer those questions. He gets paid big boy money. It's not like they're sitting there kind of avoiding it. They're educating these guys. They're saying it. Something else is going to have to be done. And I would imagine Kirby Smart and his guys and the people around him are trying to say, this is what we got to do next, because they are putting people in front. They're having educational classes. They're showing these things. They've had two individuals that are no longer with them that were a part of this program because of a driving accident and those types of things. So, you know, you hate to see it for anybody. You hate to see it, but he's going to answer those questions in the biggest stage next week in Dallas.
And for those who are not familiar, Smile Mundon, starting linebacker and offensive lineman Bo Hewley. Hewley arrested on separate reckless driving charges in Athens. And as you heard Rusty Manziel just tell you, literally on the heels of having someone speak to the team. Real quick, just as a follow-up, Rusty, we know that he's not going to answer the questions like Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State. Yeah, he's
got
more common sense than that. But a lot of even like hardcore Georgia fans that, you know, for the most part, are going to obviously support Kirby. Do you feel we need more transparency here as opposed to these guys running steps and everything else? It just seems like folks want to see, I hate to say it, you have to let the legal process play out, but people want to see guys getting cut. Now, you're not going to cut guys going to win you a national championship, but are you going to cut the 53rd guy on the roster if he's the next guy who screws up?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say until you sit in that seat what decisions you're going to make. I do think something, whatever they're doing, is not working. That's obvious. And listen, you know, one young man was at workout and left home, had a single car accident going home. Mm. You know, this ain't like this is 2 o'clock in the morning. This is an accident in the afternoon, and there's so many different parameters and so many different things around this. You don't know what's going to happen there, but I feel confident. I would say that Kirby is going to meet this head on and address it next week. He knows he's going to walk in there, and those are going to be the questions that's going to be asked instead of, you know, he's going to get the Carson Beck questions. He's going to get the Alabama, can you beat Alabama and play in Texas and those. But he is going to face those reporters right off the bat first in Dallas on Tuesday morning, and that's going to dominate the question. So, I like you guys. I'm very interested in how that is, but I do know 1,000% they have not sat back. They have not held their breath. They have been proactive as you can be in their plan. Now, what are they going to do different? Because some of these things are going to have to hit home more.
Rusty Manziel joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Covers the Dogs, covers college football. Guys, check out On Three. He's on with the Steakhouse as well. Rusty, here, and I'm just speaking from experience, when you got big boys up front and you walk up to the offense or to the line of scrimmage and you see them, it's one thing. It's another thing, Rusty, when they can play. And the incoming line for Georgia, on average, guys, 6'7", 340 pounds. I'm a big believer size matters. And if they can play, that's a whole nother issue. And I think these guys can play. Some people are saying this line is going to be too big, Rusty.
I don't think it's too big. I mean, here's the thing I'll say about those guys. None of those guys are playing this year. I mean, the incoming freshmen, they're going to sit around for a year. None of those guys are playing. You look at Tate Ratledge, who's a fourth-year player. You look at Michael Morris, who is a third-year player out of Camden County. Ernest Green, who's one of the best. Listen, Ernest Green's only 6'2", their left tackle. Somebody in that office, somebody in that building told me this summer he's got the heaviest hands they've ever seen on any offensive lineman. He will take your ass to the ground in a heartbeat. When you're 6'2 and you're playing left tackle, you got to be different, and he is different. So they are very experienced. Xavier Truss comes back for a fifth year, 6'7 tackle. So I don't think they're too big. Those guys will transition. I'll give you guys a prime example. That's a great question, Duke. I'll say this. You look at Daniel Calhoun. Daniel Calhoun came to Georgia at 6'6", 379 pounds in December. 6'6", 379. He played his state championship game in Mercedes-Benz. Daniel Calhoun will enter August the 1st at 6'6", 330 pounds. He's down 50 pounds.
Whoa!
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, you're not sitting around in the AC no more at mom and pop's house anymore eating a bowl of cereal. You know what I mean? So,
when you see those stats,
you take a 6'6", 380-pound kid, and in less than a year, he's 6'6", 330 where he's going to play. That's where the strength and conditioning, and I don't think Georgia's worried too much. I tell you what, to be honest with you, as long as I've covered Georgia, they've done a hell of a job of taking off weight. It's been those guys that are 265 and 270. Can they get them to 305? But you give Georgia a guy that's 350, 360, and they'll have him 320. Hell, me and Mike need to go to work it, I think, in offseason. I think me and Mike Bell will be – we're going to spend an offseason in Athens, man. We might be back in those Panama Jack tank tops for Labor Day.
Panama Jack.
He's got to cut sugar, Coach. That's how you do it, baby. Rusty Manziel's with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We talked earlier about the situations off the field. They did get Trevor Etienne's case adjudicated to a lesser offense. So is he going to be the lead dog? Is he going to be running back by committee?
I think he's going to be the guy. I think you don't go get him from one of your biggest competitors and rivals in Florida. I actually watched the Georgia-Florida game this morning. It was on SEC Network. I actually watched the game and some of the ways they're going to use him. And I think he's going to be the guy. Listen, I'll say this. I don't know any of the parameters. Don't know any of that situation that happened and what came out. I just saw the court results yesterday with you guys. But I'll tell you this. Everybody I have talked to has raved about him. What a good player he is. What a good student he is. Good kid. Had a tough situation and let the court play out, let that handle yesterday. But people rave to me not only about a player he is, but the type of person he is. So I know George is excited about that. He's going to be the guy. Roger Robinson's another big guy. They brought in some freshmen. The number one running back in the country, Nate Frazier out of California. He is on campus right now. And when you're number one player in the country at your position, especially running back in this world, you're not coming anymore to hold a clipboard. You're coming to play. So I'm interested to see him in a fall camp. He was not here for spring practice, but he's been here since late May. So I'm pretty sure he's getting a little more used to this humidity. And we've welcomed him with a heck of a June. I can tell you that it's been extremely hot around here. So I know he'll be acclimated as they start fall camp here in a couple weeks.
Rusty, some people say he may have been the best tight end, certainly one of the best players in Georgia history. He's now in the NFL. What's the deal with the tight end position? How much better is it going to be? Is it tight end by committee? Tell me about that particular position, because it played such a big role for Georgia over the last few years.
Yeah, you had Brock Bowers. And I tell everybody, every person comes to me and goes, this is the next Roquan Smith. It's not the next Roquan Smith in linebacker. Roquan Smith was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft because he was a unicorn. It does not mean you can't have really damn good players now at linebacker, and they do. But they're not going to have a Brock Bowers. Like, this dude was different. He's one of the best tight ends in the last 25 years in the game. And I will tell you this now. I will tell you this, and I've said it. And people that have known me and followed me for a long time, I'm very careful on these high school kids. But you guys take some time today and go look at Elias Williams out of Camden County. He's 6'7", he's 240 pounds. He is the best jumbo big athlete that I've ever covered in the state of Georgia. I mean, this dude is different. He's 6'7", 240. I made this comparison, and I'm not going to back off to it. I mean, this guy is A.J. Green type and Darnell Washington's body. You know what I mean? Like, he is the number one tight end in America. He's already committed to Georgia. He'll be there in December. I'm telling you, Elias Williams, this guy, he lines up all over the field, and he is legit 6'7", 2'4". The first person that ever called me about him was Champ Bailey, and Champ Bailey's called me about one player in the last 15 years. So when Champ Bailey calls you, I'm like, you know what? I better go see this kid. So I went to Folkston, Georgia. He was at Charleston County. Transferred over last year to a bigger program at Camden County right up the street. But I'm telling you want to start talking about tight ends and future at Georgia, they got a damn baller coming in, Elias Williams.
Wow. So even like an even bigger version of Kyle Pitts, what he was at Florida. Think about that.
Yeah, this guy can roll. Athletic, AAU basketball kid. I mean, they line him up. Camden County lines him up. And you know, some of the clips you'll see about Austin, they got two DBs on him. And these guys are hanging around his waist. They can't cover it. You know what I mean? He's that big. He's just an athletic dude. You start talking about a unicorn, but I'm not going to get into the comparison to Brock Bowers. Oscar Depp's a hell of a player. He's going to be a really good football player for Georgia this year. He's going to get a lot of targets, but I'll tell you this. Not going to be a Brock Bowers for a long, long time in Athens. The Georgia fans certainly enjoyed it while he was there.
I kind of picture Rusty battling, Sheriff Buford T. Justice rolling the back roads of Georgia in a Trans Am, Carl, you know, with the T-tops off, you know, going to look at these recruits. Hey, one last nugget, Rusty. We're not in 9 conference games. Why did Georgia have to dump the trip to UCLA? I know a lot of folks, friends, were looking forward to going to Southern California, beating the snot out of the Bruins, getting a tan, and coming back.
Dude, everybody I know was pissed off. But from my end, I don't think Georgia dumped it. I mean, did I read something wrong? I think UCLA.
I think
UCLA said, "Nah, we're good playing Utah. You keep those. We've seen that old line y'all just signed, and we'll take our bet with Utah for a while." So, everything I was told, Georgia has tried everything. Tried to get that game. Tried to save that game. In fact, I talked with someone that was very knowledgeable in Georgia's schedule, and they have had a hard time trying to feel the next 6-8 years out of conference games, and they've tried. They've tried to go to some big boy places now. I'm talking about some big boy places up north, and hadn't been able to do that. So, with that Georgia game, there was a lot of people yesterday that were just excited all the way up until that UCLA game got canceled. Georgia and the Rose Bowl, that would have been a fun trip.
By the way, UCLA canceled non-conference series with Auburn, Georgia, from the LA Times. To Rusty's point, Georgia did not drop them. Now it's the Thundering Herd coming to Sanford Stadium.
Correct, yeah. And by the way,
it was one of those. See, what had happened was
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, again, 4 years ago, everything looked different.
Mm-hmm. Looked Rusty a lot different. Man, a lot different 4 years ago.
Great job as always. Good work. Follow him. Follow On Three, guys. They do a terrific job. And we look forward to talking to you soon, man. SEC Media Days next week. I'm excited to hear from all these guys. Rusty, thanks again.
Yeah, y'all take care. Take care of my boys, Bo and Day-Day up there. I got money on y'all. Here we are, man. This is so underrated. Y'all need to talk more about this. It's a huge competition. Everybody's wanting to know about AIDS nipple ring. Nobody cares. Let's find out what's going on. Let's find out what's going on with Day-Day and Bo Johnson and my boys up there today. Y'all take care of them.
Listen, I appreciate you. They are literally, we're looking at them right now. Right. They are in the middle of another game of Connect Four. It is tied at 1-1. It's tied at 1-1. Right. Team Bell tied it up, and they are strategizing.
I mean, you'd think these guys are playing chess and not Connect Four the way they're literally taking. They're on the clock, by the way, so they've got 10 seconds.
All right, man. Rusty,
thanks,
man,
Russ.
Take
appreciate
care.
You guys. Thank you.
Yeah, brother. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. We are live at Pickle and Social again. Having our games going on, our summer games. Hey, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, what did Landry Fields say about Trey Young? We'll let you hear it coming up. It is Dukes and Bell. Mike, your interpretation of what's going on right now with this Connect Four game.
It is literally the most intense Connect Four game I've ever seen. The advantage so far, Joe Patrick and Caleb, they've had our team because they won the coin toss. You go first and Connect Four, you definitely got the edge. They've had Team Bell, including our man Day-Day and Bo Johnson, at a disadvantage. But it's a grind now, and they're literally taking 2 minutes between moves.
I see this.
There is no time limit.
I went over to talk to the guys, and literally I said, well, guys, and Patrick looked at me and shook his head. I said, okay, I won't say anything. I mean, that's how focused Team Dukes is right now.
Right.
So I don't want to. I don't want to discourage. I don't want to say anything. And they're listening. I hate that the speaker's on. I just want to be able to say nothing, and not disturb this moment of brilliance that's about to happen.
But I mean, the advantage right now, they've had Team Bell on their heels. But right now, it's still kind of it is a stalemate. Now Day-Day is approaching, but he's walking back. He was about to drop the chip in, and he walked back. He paused.
Yeah.
He chilled.
At one point,
he regrouped.
At one point, though, we went to break. I went inside. I said hello to a few people. And big shout out to Randy Mack. Randy Mack's out here, by the way.
And new dog Nico is out here.
And I came back out and I saw Day-Day like lift his shirt like he was gonna take his shirt off for us. I was like, man, this is serious out here. Yeah. And then he put it back down.
Hey man, we're live at Pickle and Social in Gwinnett, right here in Buford.
Well,
man.
I guess he did that because it's hot as hell out here.
It is hot. But hey, let's get Nico some water. I'm such a dog. You and I are doggy daddies. We're going to get Nico some water. That dog is adorable, man. Absolutely cutie. Randy got a new puppy. But we're hanging out here, guys, till 7 o'clock. If you're up in this neck of the woods, join the party, pal. Got pickleball inside and outside. Huge entertainment complex. And it's been a blast. Good times.
All right, man. We got to get to what Landry Fields said. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll get to the Falcon Report in the 5 o'clock hour. Some questions about our D-line as we count down to training camp. We went to D.C. earlier today to talk to our buddy J.P. Finley, talking about the Commanders. We see them late in the season, and we're just going around the schedule, guys. I don't know what they're going to look like, but he had some interesting things to say as Dan Quinn and company take over there. It's online at odyssey.com. Let's talk about our Hawks, though, because yesterday we spent a lot of time about what Landry Fields, and they're getting ready. As a matter of fact, they're on their way to Vegas for the summer league. And, Mike, he spent a lot of time discussing the moves that were made with this team, including trading DeJounte, the first-round pick, the pickups from the Pelicans, et cetera.
Right.
One of the things we didn't play for you yesterday was him being asked about Trae Young and the future of Trae Young with this team. And I just want you to hear it, and then you let us know what you think at 404-726-0929. I just want to have some confidence and clarity with where we're headed, the direction of the team. And when asked about, hey, what's going to happen? We're building around Trae. All right. Hey, listen to Landry Fields.
I think we're in a good spot. You know, in terms of who will be on the roster and who won't, like that's a question for another day.
Is it fair to say, though, that Trae Young won't be on this roster?
we have a lot of value in Trae. We really do. We have a lot of value in DeJounte. Like, but this is those moments where you have to make those hard decisions. So, from there on, we'll continue to build.
That sound confident to you?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. Every time he answers a question, he kind of leaves you open to more questions. I mean, you could have just said, hey, we believe in Trae. We've got to get some pieces to fit around Trae to improve this basketball team, and then leave it at that. But, you know, to sit there, I don't know. Just, everything's kind of vague, and, You know, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the way this guy handles his media business. It's not inspiring, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's not that complicated, Carl. I mean, you know, in his defense, he's in a weak spot because his owner's not giving him the resources. They're not getting into any of those tier apron one, apron two. And I understand if you're not, if you don't have the pieces. See, to me, it's a chicken and the egg argument. How am I ever going to get you to spend money if there's no way to improve this team without spending money? You know, am I off on this? I mean, we're going to grind this year. Hope that Jalen Johnson, you know, continues his upward trajectory. That Reese Hoshea gets up and learns this game quicker than most rookies. But at the end of the day, it's still the exact same team that stuck you in the play-in game, less DeJounte Murray.
Yeah,
when Dyson Daniels is on the floor to help defensively, he's not giving you anything offensively.
I just feel like that was a very vague and gray comment to the point where Trey may or may not be here.
Right.
And if that's the case, then they, in fact, are blowing it up, Mike. But he's reluctant to say that because, again, that's not the situation right now. But I didn't get any – hell, fool me. Like, at least let me say, hey, we got something to build around, and this is what we're going to do. We have a plan. And I just don't feel like that was a comment in which you felt that way. The follow-up question, by the way, Channel 2, Allison Mastrangelo? Yeah, Mastrangelo followed up that question yesterday, and that was his answer to it. You guys can let us know what you think. Yeah, and that awkward laugh. What was that? The Mike, when he's doing that, you kind of get the sense like, oh crap, okay, whoa, did he not know that was coming?
I mean, I don't know. It's just like every question kind of has him put off, which is kind of weird. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like it is difficult in the sense that you screwed up. I would really appreciate these guys to come out and say, look, we rolled the dice with DeJounte. Unfortunately, we did not get the results. We're not prepared to get into the luxury tax, which they're never going to say. But every fan knows. We said this earlier. The Hawks fans are really smart basketball fans. They know. We have guys that listen every day. They know what the story is. I mean, you didn't make any big moves. You brought in a guy in Dyson Daniels that half of our city couldn't point out. You don't know these people in the sense that they play good defense in the Pelicans. What does it do for us here? Yes, you could argue, well, you guys complained about defense. I added some defense. But you haven't replaced DeJounte's scoring. I mean, Garrison Matthews and Veet Krejci are going to give you the production of DeJounte Murray?
Don't know that. I got to see that happen night in and night out. Look, anybody can show up and give you 15 on any given night in the NBA. It's again, I said this yesterday, for anybody who thinks you can score 25 a night, it's not easy.
Right.
All right. That when that expectation happens and you are a star in this league, and Mike, oh, by the way, the opposing team is running their best defenders at you, that's a different animal, man.
Right.
I mean, any given night when there's no game plan for you and I get open shots, well, hell, I hope you hit some open shots.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not like, you know, here's the other thing. You're not doing the DeJounte trade to the Pelicans because it didn't work, and it didn't. You're doing it because you don't want to pay for him. You don't want to get into luxury tax. Because the contract extension you gave kicks in now, this season. So even it's not like you could say, well, we're doing this because it didn't work. No, it didn't work, and we can't afford to be in the luxury tax. And we're not going to ever be in the luxury tax in my lifetime, apparently, here in Atlanta.
If you are just tuning in and you're going, well, what, Dukes and Bill, why are you guys having a fit about this?
Because the GM just sounds like a putz.
Your words. I do feel like that there is a lacking of confidence when he doesn't give us what we're expecting. And I think the only thing as Hawks fans we're expecting is give us some hope and some confidence in your responses. That's it. I mean, I look, we know what we're looking at. I know this is not a championship caliber team right now, but the idea that, you know, Landry Fields absolutely has a plan and knows what he's doing, I don't know if I'm ready to say that yet.
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't.
Look, I apologize. I'll take back the name calling. He doesn't instill you in any confidence. Every time I hear the man speak, I get no confidence from his takes. In basic Q&A in the media about the team.
All right, man. We got more to get to. Falcon Reports on the way. Hawks fans, you can let us know what you think. Mike Bell, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
How do you have a media days if you got two teams?
Is it a two-day event?
We'll get into the, some would say, why don't you just call it the Tupac?
I get it.
The artist formerly known as the Pac-12. And a man suing a stripper because she basically led him on for years. That he was her boyfriend.
In his eyes?
In his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all coming up in a hard-hitting Guy Talk live from Pickle & Social in Gwinnett, live in Buford, as Connect Four continues, the longest game of Connect Four in the history of mankind.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for Shenanigans. Yes! Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play at Pickles Social here in Gwinnett. And Carl, Team Dukes now has a 2-0 lead in the summer games.
Yeah!
It's one thing if you're playing with kids. If you lose the coin toss in Connect Four when adults are playing, you're kind of setting the table, Carl, when you win that coin toss. That game took 45 minutes.
It was real.
We got the. I think Chris is going to post the photo at Dukes Bell 929. It literally went to nearly every single slot in the Connect Four board was filled.
It could have gone either way, honestly, once they turned the board to us and I saw what was going on, because, again, I didn't want to interrupt brilliance. But I am so happy that I selected the thinkers of this radio station, the Joe Patricks of the world, the Calebs of the world. These guys are thinkers, Mike.
Yes, my guys aren't muscular, and they don't think, based on the axe toss. Now, Bo Johnson did do his part yesterday. We know Garrett Chapman was a little, again, having a little bit of trouble using the, think of it like a bowling alley. Are you using the 14-pound ball? No, Garrett was using the 8-pound ball, and he still had a hard time. Nearly broke the television screen in the axe-throwing pit. Now we've lost the Connect Four, two games out of three.
And they're setting up Jenga as we speak.
You guys can, now you could basically be Dormy 3.
Yes.
Going into tomorrow's competition at Margaritaville at Lake Lanier Island.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you talk about a must-win situation. Will Bo Johnson step up?
All right, guys, no pressure, but if you guys lose this, we're done. So basically, don't screw this up, guys.
Oh, no. We're going to enjoy Margaritaville tomorrow, baby. We're going to enjoy it.
It'll be a great opportunity for us to take our shirts off. All right, man, let's get to it. Start with some guy talk
By the way, real quick, does Abe really have a nipple ring?
I think we're going to find out on Friday.
Somebody said that yesterday. I thought it was a joke. Is it serious?
Is it a joke, Oren?
Andy's pushing it to where he wants somebody to believe that Abe has a nipple ring. That's the goal, is to have somebody.
Randy Mack, does Abe have a nipple ring? No, he said no.
Andy's doing it enough to where he wants legitimately somebody just to ask, like, Abe, do you really have a nipple ring? He wants somebody to do that, yes.
But remember, like, in the most recent season of Fargo, they gave John Hamm, sheriff character, a nipple ring.
Yeah, they sure did.
And they CGI'd the thing.
Oh, yeah.
So he didn't actually have one.
By the way, what a crazy show that was.
Man, that was wild
this season. Yeah.
That was really entertaining. All right, man, some Dukes of Bell Guy Talk brought to you by our Hey Man Ale. Get the watermelon lime or the OG, the original blonde ale. A Washington County, Arkansas man filing a lawsuit against a Las Vegas dancer after he says an extensive fraudulent scheme, quote-unquote, lasting 10 years, cost him over $35,000. The lawsuit claims that in 2014, the plaintiff, named Fred Brunner, was going through a divorce and decided to go to Las Vegas to blow off some steam and hit a gentleman's club, smoke a cigar, maybe have a few cocktails. Well, that's where he met a woman.
Yeah.
The woman, who's reportedly a dancer, quote, made significant amount of money from Brunner that night and learned that Brunner was far wealthier than her normal patrons. Wealthy enough to change her life, the lawsuit states. The lawsuit claims the woman communicated with him daily while scheming to form a make-believe relationship. Basically, you know, sort of catfishing, but of course you got to see what she looks like. The ultimate goal of getting as much money out of him as possible. Over 10 years, Brunner claims the woman hoodwinked him.
She used this fool into
thinking they were an exclusive romantic relationship.
He's
during
an idiot.
The time, the lawsuit says she accepted a house, several trips funded by Brunner.
God.
Brunner also claims he would send financial support to the woman at her specific request. During the woman's alleged scheme, the lawsuit states she collected over $3 million from Brunner. Contrary to her countless representations, the woman was, in fact, dating a man in Las Vegas the whole time.
She was.
Additionally, the lawsuit claims the woman gave some of Brunner's money to the other man.
Of course she did.
Shocking. All along, she had no intention of following through with what she said she's going to do. Brunner seeking compensation, I should say, punitive damages amounting to $38,500,000.
$38 million?
Yes, I you know me, I didn't proofread. It's not $38,000. There may be no reason to sue for $38,000. He's given over $3 million. He's suing for $38 million in compensatory damages.
Wow. Yeah, and thank you for the song, Oren. T-Pain told y'all a long time ago, do not fall in love with a stripper.
And there's no sex in the champagne room. And I'm not going to go into specifics about strip clubs in South Florida with Randy McMichael's wife here, but Randy knows.
Wait a minute. Why you bring him into the conversation? Why you just put him on blast
Randy's familiar with the place. But No, there's this place that I told the story to you years ago.
Can't keep a secret, can you? Randy's wife is here enjoying their dog and chilling. And you're like,
married.
I'm not going to talk about the strip clubs of Randy's.
Randy. Married. B is right. B, her. BB. Anyway, but no, it was a pure platinum in Lauderdale. But no, I my experience, but he knows where it's at. I've told you this story.
You're terrible.
I mean, he drove past it. You can see it.
You are
terrible.
You can
see it from 95.
Go ahead.
No, but I mean, all guys out there, I think guys in their 20s do learn this lesson. Certainly an old, heartbroken 60-year-old from Arkansas should know better, but you're just a sugar daddy. You're the mark. It's you can see from a mile away. I was 26, and I was dating a girl that was dancing at the club. And I remember I showed up. We were supposed to go on a weekend down to the Keys. And so I go to pick her up at the club after she's working the afternoons.
Yeah.
And I go see the bouncer. I go, where's Ashley? And the big bouncer, big guy, former football player at the University of Miami. His nickname was Atlas. I go, what's up, babe? Where's she at, man? He goes, Mike, talking like Michael Clark Duncan. I hate to be the man to tell you. She ran off to Bimini with some dude who was in here this afternoon.
Of course she did.
I'm like, what, dude? But I got a room at the Chart House. I got a room.
Yeah, you got a room.
I got a room at the Ocean Tech. So, yeah. Again, most guys figure this one out. I was about age 25 to figure it out. You can't do it. Don't get in a relationship. You don't you get to have sex, but don't ever try to get in a relationship. It's just you can't go down this road.
It's tough.
Not all strippers are bad, but many have no soul.
No, but Mike, here's the deal. Like, if you go into one of these clubs, and again, do you, all right? Do whatever you do. But I'm just saying, if you go into one of these clubs, and this guy apparently was dropping a lot of coin,
right.
Why wouldn't she entice you to come back?
He's in Arkansas. She gets to, you know, once a year she has to take a trip to Mexico with this guy, and he thinks he's got a girlfriend in Las Vegas.
Anything else you want to tell us about Randy?
No. Randy was an NFL player. No one's going to get over on Randy.
Okay.
Randy, get over on a girl.
All right. I'm just asking.
I was just a 25-year-old DJ back in the day. I'm just saying. Hey, man, how would you, speaking of Las Vegas, no sex in the champagne room and no media days,
you'd
think.
That's what they say.
No, you would think that a conference, yes, Team Bell gets a win in Jenga. That's right. We bounce back.
Dang it.
That's right. We are still alive. Still alive.
Crush
2-1.
Crush their souls. Crush them.
2-1. And the big picture, we can get back and tie this with a tiebreaker coming down at Lake Lanier at Margaritaville tomorrow. If we can just win another game of Jenga.
I don't like this.
All right. For the first time since the Pac-12 became the Tupac, they decided that we're going to do. You got to be kidding me. How do you send Oregon State and Washington State to have a media day? Isn't that the silliest thing you've ever heard of?
Well, yeah, they're trying to be relevant, and they're completely far from it. I mean, let's be honest. Where are they on the landscape of college football right now? Nobody's talking about it. Nobody even cares. I hate to tell you guys, if you're one of their fans or one of their alums, the reality is right now they're not tied to any major conference, Mike. This is an uphill battle, and they're trying to make something out of nothing. It's not going to happen.
From our buddy Ross Dellinger, this is from his Twitter yesterday, Pac-12, still calling themselves the Pac-12,
it's a joke,
holding a scaled-down media event with an open bar here in Vegas.
Just invite reporters
literally
to the bar.
Trying to get guys to come in off the street and check it out. Commissioner Teresa Gould opens the event by gesturing to the bar. We're drinking tonight. If anyone has earned the right to drink, it's the Pac-12.
That's funny.
Well, if nothing else, they have lost 10 teams. They haven't lost their sense of humor. In fact, the official name of the event wasn't actually Pac-12 Media Days. It was called, quote, After Hours with the Beavs and the Cougs.
And then they got on one of those mini buses and went over to
the
club.
All right, guys, so we're going to have some cocktails. You're going to have questions for the coaches. And then we're all going to hop on the bus and head over to Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, my goodness.
After Hours with the Beavs and the Cougs. Yeah, man, it is pretty amazing, man. Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, obviously joining the Big Ten. Stanford and Cal Flint in the ACC. Arizona State, Utah, Colorado headed to the Big 12. All right, real quick, the Colts. We talked yesterday about the Falcons. We love our throwbacks. Everybody loves the Colts Indiana Knights uniform, the dark blue with the dark blue helmet. Apparently, they're going to be rocking that a couple of times this year.
Okay,
so a lot of folks feeling that might be the new look for them.
I like it. I do like it too.
It is pretty tight.
It pops, as we say. It is.
Hey man, we got a break, so we're going to get to our Falcon report right now, guys. It is 2-1, Duke's over Bell. Now we've gone to giant oversized beer pong here on the lawn at Pickle and Social in Gwinnett. And man, Randy Mack's here. The dog is here. Nico, the whole crew. Join the party, pal. If you're getting off work, get off 85 and join us here at Pickle and Social.
All right, man. Coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. Also, we'll talk Braves. They lose last night, but they can win the series tonight. Grant McCauley's on the way and a lot more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.